All right, guys. Hey, we're gonna go ahead and get started. We've got about four people, five people on Zoom right now, and a full office. So we're going to get started with Chris Tabb.
Are we good to go?
We are.
Okay. I might be sitting, I might be standing, so I apologize in advance. I have some things to pass around. So I'm going to talk about them a little bit and then I'll pass them. Please be aware that some of the things I'm going to pass will be sharp. So I have some cleats that go in the bottom of boots or shoes, and I brought a variety of different ones. They all have some metal. Some are like paper clips wrapped around rubber, and others are like pointed daggers. They're meant to grip the ice, but just be careful with your own hands and also when you pass it to the person next to you so that nobody gets a surprise. Okay. I'm guessing you all have experience in the snow.
Sort of.
Before we get going,
Experience falling.
well,
Yeah,
I have that too. We all have that in common. Does anybody have anything that they thought they wanted to make sure that they heard about today or specific questions so I can make sure to address those?
Mostly just overall safety traveling in the winter months with, bike cane users, or even I know we've got former guide dog handler, I'm a handler, and Christy is soon to be a handler.
Yes.
Maybe some safety tips about walking in the snow with a guide dog as well.
And Phoenix is a
Oh, and
handler.
Phoenix, I apologize, Phoenix. I forgot.
Today.
Well, I double as a Juno, so I'll try to do my best to represent there.
I'd also like to know about the tips that would be used with the white cane for the snow.
Thank you, Christy. That's exactly what I have in my hand at the moment. So I'm going to pass some of these around. I'm going to pass them in different directions. The first tip I'm going to pass around is called a Dakota disc. And Ed, I'm going to hand you one and pass one this way so they can go on both sides of the room. The Dakota disc is a little bit like a flying saucer shape, and it will attach to a traditional Ambutech cane. For those of you that use an NFB cane, there are ways to adapt an NFB cane to receive an Ambutech tip, but it doesn't come like that out of the box, so to speak. You have to do a little bit of work in order to do that. So most of the replaceable tips that we talked about work well on an Ambutech cane. That's what they're designed for. If you don't have an Ambutech cane, again, there's some ways to adapt it. This, I've just attached one to an Ambutech cane. This is the sound it makes when it flies back and forth on this floor. It's a wide swath. It's not a broom. It's for those of you that have ever used a metal detector on the beach, it's a little bit like that. It's not going to be a stealthy kind of a thing. It will glide over the surface of the snow. It will glide over the surface of the sand. It'll glide over the surface in a park of rough grass and uneven terrain. It doesn't get stuck like a traditional tip might get stuck in nooks and crannies. That being said, it's not very, what do I say, small. So it's not going to fit in different places like another cane tip would. These are going to be things that you can switch out. Some people have one cane that lives on all the time and another cane they use indoors. You might not want to use this indoors, but outside, if we've had a big snow or if you went out hiking somewhere, that would give you the ability to glide over that snow. So I'm going to pass this cane around.
I've seen it.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I didn't know if you want to pass it to your right.
Oh, yeah, we've had them too.
Okay. I'm passing both around. Thank you.
Okay. I'll just hold on to it for a minute then.
Here, I sit here. Okay. Does anybody have any questions on that part before we continue?
What is the kind of the set? Do you lose any sensation with it while you're walking through the snow? Because I know, like a
Yeah.
rollerball, it would kind of plow through the snow and you still might feel the pavement. What about the
Like a
Dakota
bit of
disc?
feedback.
This is going to, I'm going to just do a general tip overview. The most sensitive tip that you can use, we'll say, is either a metal glide tip or a ceramic tip or just a basic pencil tip. They don't roll, they're not very big, they have great auditory feedback to give you kind of the tapping sound or some echolocation as you're moving, but they can get wedged a little bit easier.
Oh, it's their favorite thing, especially pencil tips.
Well, so it gives great sensitivity, but you have to be willing to be flexible in your wrist, in your arm, in your movement to be able to absorb that sticking. The bigger we get, the less sensitivity we have. This is a big tip, so we'll have much less sensitivity. What it doesn't have is a bearing. So when we have roller balls or rolling marshmallow tips, that bearing itself absorbs some of the vibration, the feedback. It's a little bit like wearing rubber gloves. Now, more than likely, if you're using this cane with that tip, you're also probably wearing gloves, which also removes some of your sensitivity. There is, I only have one of these, I apologize, and I'm going to hand to you first. This is, it's like a mitt, and it's not marketed for people who are blind and low vision to use with their cane. It actually comes with an ice scraper built into the mitt. But if you remove the ice scraper for your windshield, you can put your cane handle through it. And now you have a cover for your hand, like a giant mitten with one hole at the end that the cane can go through. It doesn't allow you to do a harness. That's a different story. But for your cane can go through it. They also sell things for people who play tennis in cool weather. That's a tennis glove. And that just like a tennis racket handle can go through that hole, you can put your cane tip through the, or your cane grip through the hole. So there's different ways to keep your bare hand on the cane to preserve that sensitivity and still keep your hand protected from the winter weather.
I've used in the past like baseball batting gloves or football gloves.
Yep.
Because those are usually made out of leather or a thicker material, and you still don't lose the sensation, but your fingers and everything are covered.
So ultimately, we need to be aware that anytime we change our sensitivity, whether it's through our tip, through the glove with a grip, something like that, we have to be more aware of the movement of our cane using what's called proprioception. The position of your wrist, the position of your elbow, the position of your shoulder even, because we won't have all that sensitivity through our fingers. When we prepare for going outside in winter, we're putting on lots of layers. We're covering up our head to keep it warm, but we're typically covering up our ears. And whether we're aware of it or not, we tend to use our hearing very much for navigation, for information, because our cane tip provides details to hear the traffic. But if I cover my ears with earmuffs or a hat, I have less sensitivity to that auditory information. So I have to slow my pace. I have to slow my roll, not only for that, but also for the ice, which we'll get to. At the moment, does anybody have any questions or should I keep going?
What was the name of that first tip you passed around?
It's a Dakota, as in North Dakota. It was actually designed by the superintendent at the School for the Deaf and Blind in North Dakota, Paul Olson.
Thank you.
And he worked with AmbuTech to have it produced. And it can be used in lots of different terrains, but it was originally designed for snow and gliding across the surface. There are going to be times when you may have to adjust your technique if you're not using a tip like that, such as poking through the snow to find out where the edge of the sidewalk is or the drop-off of the curb. It would be really tough to poke through the snow with a Dakota disc. It's intended more to glide across the surface.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. But if you were wanting to find out where the berm is or the mound of snow after they plow that gets in between you and the crossing, that's going to not get jammed in there and stuck. It would glide over the top, but you would feel that rise,
gotcha,
kind of like a sloping hill.
Like how much would one of those disc things cost? I wanted to have one for like the winter.
I don't remember the exact cost, but I'm going to say it's about $10.
Okay.
That's a big guess, but it's about $10, I believe.
Okay.
And if you, for the Dakota disc.
Oh, I got you.
Okay. And if you are working with vocational rehabilitation, you can reach out to your counselor and see if that's something that could be added to your plan. Or if you're working with blind and low vision services as under the Older Blind Program, I encourage you to reach out if that's something you have an interest in.
Okay.
Okay. In terms of support, some people find it very difficult to maintain their balance in the winter because we can have uneven surface on the ground because sometimes the snow just sticks and it doesn't get plowed away. And using different things that can help you with your balance if you have challenges with your balance, like a support cane or trekking poles, they can provide some additional balance support. One of the things I'm going to be passing around is a support cane. It comes from AmbuTech also. It's white and red at the bottom. And at the bottom of this one, there is a, I'm going to deploy the clip that allows a metal cleat to be at the bottom. It is sharp. When you pass it, please pass it gently. Please don't jam it into the floor so we don't leave our impression on the floor. It's meant to be a tip that jabs into the ice so it won't slip. Just like rubber on your shoes or tires can slip, the rubber on the end of a support cane can slip. So we need something that has some teeth to it. And this definitely has some teeth. So when you put your hand there, don't press hard, and please do not press into the floor. And I'll trade you. Thank you. The trekking poles, now open these up a little. Well, I'm gonna leave them short just because it's easier to pass, but these are telescoping, so you can make them whatever length you need to. And I'm gonna take off the rubber protective cap. Underneath the rubber protective cap is what's called a carbide tip. And it holds up really well, and it would give you some good grip on the ground. It's not painted white and red. You could use the white reflective tape and red tape on it, but it's not technically a white cane, but you could use this for support along with your looking cane, your long white cane that's previewing your travel path. I'm gonna pass one of these in each direction. This particular pair of trekking poles has the right hand and left hand that the grip is molded a little bit to give you some more comfort for your right hand or your left hand. So if you've got the left-handed version and it feels awkward in your hand, it might be because it's a different hand. And these the trekking poles do have a rubber cap that goes on the bottom. So if you didn't need that sharp tip, you would keep it covered so that it would be ready for you for ice or other slippery material.
So I don't want to use this on my hardwood floors.
I would suggest not, unless you want to, give it some character.
Oh, wow.
Well, hello.
You could be.
I could create a job for somebody.
Absolutely. And, we could tell where you walked every day, and you could create some travel lines. It would leave a mark, for sure. I'm going to pass around a couple of things here. The first thing I'm going to pass around are a basic form of a product called Yak Track. And Yak Tracks they come in lots of different styles. This one, the first one I'm gonna pass around, is not attached to a piece of footwear. The others I'm gonna pass around are attached to a piece of footwear, just so you can get a sense of what they feel like. And I'm gonna hand you one. And these would wrap around, it's kind of like a rubber web that wraps around your shoe or your boot, that you pull it across and it attaches to the bottom of your boot or your shoe. This one also includes a Velcro strap just for a little more security across the top in case you're very active. The metal coil that's underneath is what gives it its grip to the ice, what gives you stability.
Oh, thanks, please.
So just as an example, if you were in Great Falls, they may clear the sidewalks, but if you have to go in the alley, either to bring your garbage to the barrel or to get to a storefront, something like that, from where you park, those alleys typically are going to be just a sheet of ice. And I can verify that because I've landed on my backside. It's just the reality. We don't get to control that. It's not our home. Even if they tried to plow, that's also where fluids tend to run. So they're going to freeze there, especially overnight. Having something that allows you to traverse that safely using smaller steps and good grip will give you a little bit better chance of arriving without having a bounce, okay? So the first ones that went around are just, we'll say, basic Yak Tracks. The next one I'm gonna pass around, I'm gonna pass one around that's on a shoe, and I'll pass one around with it that is not attached to the shoe so you can get a sense of what it feels like. Now, these are meant to be, and Ed, I'm gonna hand you one more thing. That's what it feels like before it goes on. These are meant to be worn outside. Same idea with the support cane. It could mar a floor, whether it's a wood floor, a tile floor, a laminate floor. You wouldn't want to damage someone's floor by walking indoors with these.
And what about cement on the sidewalks? Will it damage the cement?
It will not damage the cement. So if you think about what the cars are doing, cars have studded tires. not all cars. Some cars in the winter use studded tires or chains, and that's the material that we walk on the sidewalk and the asphalt is rugged enough that you don't have to worry about damaging it with these materials. But if you're indoor with an indoor floor covering, that's where we'd want to be extra careful. Okay. Some of these will also come with a little pouch. And the little pouch is a great place to put that when you get to the store, when you get to a friend's house, when you're home, you peel it off of your footwear and you put it in the pouch. Because that way, if it's wet and snowy, it goes in its little pouch rather than in your hand or in your pocket. Okay. The next one I'm going to pass around, I don't want to put this. They can get more pronounced based on the activity. Some people like to do things that are much more like hiking in the winter. Some people are just walking outside their house. So, let's see. Ed, I'm going to hand you another one. There's the boot. And underneath is the rubber cleat. It's got little posts on it.
Studs on it.
Yep. And then this is the loose part that would be on the other shoe. Helen, I didn't bring any for your feet. I'm sorry.
She wouldn't wear them anyway.
All right, Morris. There's a boot.
I'm
giving you the boot. There's your the cleat.
And there's lots of different brands.
Yes.
And well, while we have a second, is there any questions on Zoom that I may have missed? You guys can unmute and ask a question if you need to. No. Okay.
Okay. And I got one more for you. Okay.
Those ones are like football cleats.
And the more pronounced the cleat, probably the rougher activity it's intended for.
Okay. I want these to be pink.
So footwear is very important. In addition to what your cane is telling you, if you've fallen before your cane told you about a hole in the ground or a rise in the ground, it doesn't matter because you fell before you got there. So what's important to remember is how can I maintain safe walking? And that's going to be, in part, your stride length. If I overextend and I reach really far with my foot and I do slip, it's going to be harder for me to recover from that. If I'm taking smaller steps, baby steps, we'll say, it's going to be much easier for me to maintain my balance. So if you are on terrain that you know is particularly precarious, then you want to slow your pace and decrease your stride length as you're walking. Having something like the cleats is just one other layer of protection.
Is there a drawback to these sharp cleats?
The drawback is that you got to take them off and put them on. It's just one extra step when you go outside.
Yeah.
So if you're willing to do that, it gives you extra safety and stability when you're walking because we can't predict where the ice is going to appear. Sometimes it's just somebody who left something running and it leaked out of their house and onto the sidewalk and it froze. Sometimes it's a pipe that broke. Sometimes it's an area that just didn't get plowed or we melted in the day and then refroze at night. We don't know what we're going to be discovering. This just gives us the ability, if we cannot visually determine or the cane isn't tactily giving us information about that icy area, we've still got a grip. Anybody have any questions about those?
Which one would work in for running?
For running, they actually have some that are specifically designed for running. Yak Track is one company that designs those. But you can do an Amazon search or a Google search for winter running cleats or something like that. And they have some that they're just a little bit more streamlined so that you have a little more flexibility.
Yeah, and that'll stay on.
Yes, and that'll stay on. And those that have the Velcro strap on the top,
yeah.
Also, if they did slip off in one corner, it would still stay with you right. Because of that Velcro.
Okay.
Okay, Who has challenges with glare?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
It's very, very common. When we're in winter, the glare is going to pick up a few notches because
no kidding.
It's a reflective surface everywhere we go. So, is it Weva?
Yes.
Weva has, she's modeling wraparound sunglasses for us today, as is Miss Christy. And I have some others I'm going to pass around. I have different styles. I don't have every shape and style. I'm just going to pass around three different styles. Here, I'll give you two at once, and I'll pass one the other way. And some people need a style that fits over the top of your prescriptions. Some people do not wear prescriptions and wear contacts.
And here's another way.
The fit overs, but they also have the option of wearing a little bit more streamlined wraparound. Ultimately, if you're able to wear the wraparound glasses, it prevents the glare from entering from the sides and the top and the bottom. So traditional sunglasses just protect the front. And they give you protection from glare from the front, but glare can enter from lots of different places.
Like I have set up a cocoon.
Oh, I didn't even notice it. Yes, you have yours too. Good wraparound ones for sure. There are different colors. There's some that come in gray, which some people like because it doesn't distort things. There are also some that come with, let's say, yellow mixed in to make an amber or a green or a plum that some people feel gives them more information about contrast. So seeing the edges between the gray streets, gray curb, and the gray sidewalk, they can all blend together. That helps to highlight some of those edges a little bit. Anybody have any questions at this point?
What do you say that highlights the edges?
An amber color. Let me see if I have one of those.
Oh.
Okay, I got one right here. Okay, so this one has a little bit of amber in it. And so you get some reduction in the level of light. In other words, it makes it a little bit darker, not quite as intense, but it also, the coloration helps to highlight some of those things that you might miss visually because of what contour interaction or other challenges.
I have a steep curve in my glasses.
Yes.
Lenticular lenses.
Yes.
Is there one of these that you would recommend to help me not scratch my glasses with them?
Well, there are different styles. One of the ones that's coming around, it'll be to you soon, is a larger plastic version that I think would help to keep a distance between the lens of your prescription and the sunglasses. And they will be to you soon. They come in small, medium, and large. This particular company that I'm passing around, there are others like Cocoon and Eschenbach.
Which I have a pair of Cocoons.
Yeah, and they all make low vision glasses. The particular pairs that I'm passing around at the moment are from a company called No-IR or Noir. I think the No-IR is for no infrared that doesn't get through to your eyes because that's the part that damages our retina.
It also sounds like a blind pun.
Thank you for helping me. I miss a lot of things. So all of these options are just things that we can do to give us an extra layer of safety. Because if we're preventing the glare challenge, we have a better chance of using any remaining or residual vision. How do those feel? Are those giving you a good space?
I like it.
Good. I figured you would. So if you are connected with Blind and Low Vision Services, then I encourage you to reach out and somebody could bring you
over. Old.
Well, it's 55 and over. So if you're over 55, you're good. My oldest client is 98 at the moment.
I'm like one of the youngest clients.
You are. I have some that are younger, but yes, you're in that category.
They used to look like they won't scratch you.
They have a good distance. And so we have, I only brought a few pairs with me today, but we have others that are in that shape and style that you might want to try. Ed, I don't know if I'm sure you know what they are.
You have them in different darknesses.
We have them in different darknesses. So just as an example, there's like a light gray and a dark gray and a light plum and a dark plum and a light amber and a dark amber. they have about 40 different colors that you can get.
And this is the Comoppa, the ones that I have.
We don't have all the different colors. You can always order them on your own, but through Blind and Low Vision Services, that's something that typically we're able to provide you with at no cost to you. I feel like I'm doing a commercial. it's not meant to be. It's just if somebody can give you something for free, I encourage you to consider that. But I can also help you to know where to purchase them on your own if you want something that we don't have.
Could you give us a good website?
Yes.
To find glasses?
If you can go to simply the catalog LS&S has that, the all of these products, and you can also go directly through the company, which is NoIR Medical Technologies. And if you want, I can forward a link to Ed and he can send that to you.
Yeah,
I'll put some resources together and maybe Ed can share that out with everybody.
Yeah, great. Absolutely. Okay.
Other questions or thoughts?
We're getting close to the 1:30 time frame. So
I'm sure I need something.
Yes.
Are you down toward the
okay. Yes.
I feel the bottom of this shoe.
Yes, you've got different treads there.
That's a non-slip tread.
That's awesome.
5 oboes.
Okay. Thank you for sharing.
Don't know that they made
those. I did not know that they made those. Okay.
Yeah, and they work.
Excellent. How do you feel about a whistle burn? Good. Well, that certainly makes things easy because you don't have to take them off.
Now, she came back in New York with the real slick weather with dogs.
Yes.
And they work.
Excellent. Very good.
Rod, I could take those pleated boots to Phoenix and ask people what this is.
Now, I'm ready to go to the golf course.
Well, that's kind of all I had prepared for today. Does anybody have any thoughts or questions?
Let me make sure people are on Zoom.
What do you got?
How do you feel about the colored canes in the winter versus the standard white
cane? It's my standard answer. I'm not an attorney, so I don't know for sure what would happen in a court of law. But if a car had a conflict, they call it, or an accident, a collision, and someone were using a cane that was not at least 50% white, I don't know what would happen. Because in the United States, we have what are called the white cane laws. Most drivers, are going to interpret that cane the same way, whether it's blue, yellow, green, white, doesn't really matter. It's going to function the same way because it's going to feel the ground the same way. But for those drivers who are looking specifically for a cane that is white to help them know that a person has vision loss or is blind, I don't know what happens in a court of law when you use a cane that is predominantly another color. They've done some studies that show that the color cane that cars respond the best to is a white cane.
Okay, I mostly ask because, well, in the wintertime,
yes.
I actually got hit by a car and it was whiteout conditions. And the first comment out of the driver's mouth when they got out of the car to check on me was, I didn't see your cane.
Okay. Ultimately, we don't have different canes for different weather conditions. It's a good point. I just don't know legally what happens.
What happens if we tie a bright ribbon or something onto the white portion so that it's noticeable in the snow?
All I encourage you to do is to leave at least, I'm going to say 51% so that it's predominantly white.
Okay.
And some people like to bling out their canes. They like to have Hello Kitty all over their cane, or they'll use duct tape that's, you know, tie-dye or rainbow or whatever. All of that is just stylizing your cane, but ultimately thinking about it, how can I make it most obvious to the drivers that I have vision loss? The only thing that I know of is to have a white cane. And whether you're in England or Quebec, or the United States, as far as I know, it's the same. There are some subtle differences with people who have hearing loss and vision loss in other countries, but across the United States, the recognizable symbol is a white cane. So I'm sorry, I don't have a better answer for you than that. The only studies that I know of have been done during non-winter conditions. So it sounds like that would be another good research project.
Chances are I'll probably have to do it myself.
Well,
sometimes you sell it
for it.
Other questions or thoughts?
What is the difference between a totally white cane and one that's white and red?
The only difference that I'm aware of is that in the United States, we typically use red as an alert color. So it helps people to be just a little bit more aware. In England, they're traditionally issued all white. From the NFB, the National Federation of the Blind, they're all white.
Gotcha.
Ambutech does allow you to order canes in just about any color. There are some states that have a white cane law that specifically states in order to use a white cane, you must be legally blind.
Correct.
There are other states where it just says visually impaired or low vision, but some states are very specific. You must have reached the level of legal blindness. In that case, you could get a yellow cane and you'd still be within the law. It's still doing the same thing. It's still providing you with safety, but it's not breaking the law. Not that I've ever been pulled over by a police officer to check my visual level.
So what is it here in Montana?
I would have to go back and look, but I believe it's just that if you have a visual impairment.
Yeah, okay. I believe so. Yeah, I believe it's just visual impairment in Montana.
I think it actually might be legally blind. There were some students at deaf and blind school that had colored canes because they didn't classify as legally blind.
I couldn't remember. I know Connecticut for sure said legally blind. At least they did a few years ago. I would have to go back and look at the code of the law for Montana. I've forgotten. Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Good questions. Anybody else have other things?
Any questions on Zoom?
What would be the reason for being so picky about who can use a white cane?
There are some things that people, if you went to Disneyland, you'd probably get to the front of the line. If you boarded a bus, you likely would have to demonstrate that you needed a disabled person. There are some benefits, we'll say, that go along with having vision loss or disability. And that tool is a typical cane.
Indicator.
Thank you. I don't know of anybody who's tried to put themselves off as being low vision who isn't, but I imagine that's the reason, is that they want to preserve the safety benefits and any other benefits that go along or that are offered to people who have vision loss for those who truly do have vision.
Yeah.
There's a lot of misconceptions in the world, though. I used to work with a gal who was she traveled with a guide dog, and she was accused of seeing. She boarded the bus, and another passenger said, "I saw you see," like she was trying to get away with something. So there's a lot of
the same thing.
There's a lot of misconceptions in the world that people make judgments, and
like it's so sexy.
Well,
to be using
in any event, I have to imagine that's the rationale. And just as an example, I'm taking this far off the field here. They have signs that say blind person in the area. And they have signs that say older person in the area. And they have signs that say deaf person in the area. Eventually, if there's so many signs, nobody pays attention anymore because they just... And so if everybody had a cane, would drivers pay attention?
No.
And so by having it limited to those who truly need it, then hopefully it keeps the driver alert when they do see it to be aware.
I've been accused of faking it also.
Yeah. And I don't know what goes on between people's ears or why they think certain things or what they think the benefit is.
I know yesterday this guy came up and helped me with my snap code because I couldn't really see the screen. And my aunt Teresa was busy at another machine doing her little bit of groceries.
Well, very nice when people can reach out and help us. That's for sure. Other thoughts or questions? What do you get when you cross the snowman with a vampire?
Frostbite.
Frostbite, you got it.
Very good.
You got
a little one.
Reaction 7. I think I gotta start putting things away so you guys can get on with the meeting.
Thank you, sir. Hey, I didn't. Chris, great job. This is Doug.